Now I want to turn our thoughts to the second chapter of Revelation, verse 29. I used this text 2 weeks ago tonight. I dealt with one phase of it. The text says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And we dealt with the thought of hearing and how to hear, the attitudes we should be in when hearing God's word, and that the soul has a sense of hearing the same as the body has a sense of hearing, and the soul with its sense of hearing can hear what the Spirit says. We don't hear what the Spirit says with these ears, but it's so distinctive at times that we think we heard it that way. It just sounds like someone spoke to us. Well, they did, but it was in the Spirit. And the Spirit has that sense of hearing that can hear what the Spirit says. We discussed the thought that our attitude should be one of deep humility, and God said to this man, "Will I look even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word." Now Jesus admonished us to take heed how ye hear, and not to let the things pass by that might mean life or death to us. Now he said in the 8th chapter of Luke and the 18th verse, "Let these things sink down into your ears." When we're hearing and listening to God's word, we want our hearts and minds open and just let these things sink right on down into our hearts. Amen. Now we have a text in the 10th chapter of Romans, verse 18, and it presents to us an ailment that most people have today, and perhaps many of us have, and that's the ailment of hearing, failing to hear. Now, beginning up about verse 13 of this 10th chapter, he says, "How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But they have not all obeyed." Now I wish we would notice he's talking about hearing here and the message going out, and it connects hearing with believing and obeying. Amen. Now that's what real hearing is. It's obeying, believing, hear, understand, accept, receive. It isn't just letting it go in one ear and out the other. It isn't just letting things pass us by, but it's really obeying and believing and understanding and receiving and accepting God's word. "But they have not all obeyed. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? But have they not heard? Now that's the question. Have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound went throughout the earth, and their words unto all the world. The sound has gone out. The gospel message has been proclaimed. The word of God has been preached. The trumpet has sounded. But through a lack of believing and a lack of obeying, people have not heard the word of God. They've heard it, but they didn't hear it. Now he said that they who hear shall live. But everyone isn't living. There are many people up walking around that are dead in trespasses and sins, never have been resurrected to a live state in God because they have not heard. They haven't opened their hearts. They haven't let these things sink down into their ears. Now Jesus said in his teaching, Mark 4:24, take heed what ye hear. Now we dealt with the thought two weeks ago tonight of take heed how ye hear. First let me say that when Jesus was giving instruction about how to deal with an offending brother, someone that had trespassed against you, he said, go to him and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hear you, you've gained your brother. Well, now, of course, he's going to hear what you say. If you don't mumble your words, he'll hear what you say. But he said, if he hear you, in other words, if he accepts what you say, and if he responds to it and acts upon it. That's what it means to hear. Amen. Is to respond to, act upon, believe, obey, accept God's word. Now, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. And folks, let me tell you right on the outset, there are many things going forth today that will not do to hear, not do for you to listen to.
Amen.
Many things going forth over pulpits today that won't do for you to listen to.
Amen.
And are not good to hear. He said, you take heed what you hear. God help us to disseminate and to take heed to what our ears hear, what our hearts take in, what we allow to sink down into our ears. In my meditations one day, the scripture came to me in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 10th verse. It says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the air and are in the world, and none of them are without signification. Now, folks, there are a lot of things out there in the world today and a lot of things being proclaimed. They all mean something. In fact, they all mean the same thing, but they won't do to listen to. They'll deceive your soul, they'll confuse you, they'll mix you up, and he just said, you take heed what you hear.
Amen.
Well, as I meditated further on that text, the text came to me in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse, said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, as I meditated on that, things began to go together to me. Many voices, many spirits. And I began to see that all these voices that are proclaiming something out there in the world today, they are the voices of the many spirits that have been released and have gone out into the world. Then as I meditated further, it came to me this way, that to win people to the truth involves more than just telling them the truth. It involves more than just preaching the truth, because people are under the power of a spirit that won't let them believe the truth, won't let them see it. And if we ever get truth to anybody, it involves having the power of the Spirit of Christ working in our souls sufficient to bind the power of the deceptive spirit in the other person's soul till he can see the truth. Amen. He's under the power of something that will not permit him to see the truth. It involves much the work of God, carrying on the work of God, being effective in the work of God, gaining souls and helping people out of the trouble they're in, and liberating them from their deceptions. It involves much.
Amen.
A great deal. And every one of us needs to be walking humbly before God and living close to Him and having the power of the Spirit of God working in our souls to that extent that we can just bind the power of the Spirit that has other people under their control and won't let them see the truth. Now he said, take heed what you hear. Many voices, many spirits. Every spirit has his voice. In the 16th chapter of Revelation, verse 13, he said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Let us notice something here. Three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. That's where they came from, right out of the mouth. But the mouth is what they speak with. That's what they proclaim their doctrine with.
Yeah.
And right in these doctrines that are in the world today, the Spirit's coming right forth in them. The Spirit is coming right out of the mouth. Now the dragon, the revelation presents to us through a prophetic history of this time, this entire age of time, three major false systems of religion. They are the dragon or paganism, the beast or papalism, and the false prophet or Protestantism. Now the Bible takes the whole Protestant system of denominationalism and presents it under one symbol, the false prophet, all of them, the whole system. It's all the false prophet. Now these have been on the stage of action one at a time down through the prophetic history of the church in the Revelation. But it also features that in the end time, right down in the last days of the last days, they'll all three be on the stage at the same time, all performing together under the dominance of the spirit of the dragon. Paganism, communism, that's what it is today. And that's what we're going to be confronted with in the final analysis, is all three of these major powers on the stage at the same time in one combine, compassing the camp of the saints, hedging us in on every side, and the spirit of the whole, that dominates the whole thing, will be the spirit of the dragon, paganism or communism. Now, he says, with all this going on, be discriminate in your hearing. Be careful what you hear. Take take heed what you listen to. I heard somebody say the other day that a person could not live right until he believed right. Well, now I'm pretty much inclined to go along with that, because the Scripture says that God hath ordained us to obtain salvation through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth. Folks, we're going to have to believe the truth if we obtain salvation. It's all centered up in the truth. To obtain salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And we need to settle right down and concentrate our hearts and minds on believing the truth, God's Word, and be discriminate in our hearing and take heed what we hear. Now, this is all coming forth, bear in mind, right out of the mouth. And the mouth's what they proclaim the doctrine with. And the Spirit came right out of the mouth with the doctrine. And if you and I give heed to some of these strange doctrines that are in the world today, there's a spirit in them that'll take hold of us and bring us right under its control till we'll not be able to see the truth. God will have to break the power of that spirit before we'll be able to see the truth. Sister Sherman told us down there at Pacoima, there were several folks coming to the altar, and they were staying quite a while, and one man stayed till 2 o'clock in the morning. He'd been under some witchcraft, and others were under various things. She says, our folks don't have a problem with movies and drinking and cigarettes and dancing and things of that nature. Said, it's just these wrong spirits just settling down over them. Folks, if we give heed to something that's not of God, the wrong spirit's just coming right along with that. And it's going to take hold upon us. It will seize us. We'll fall under the control and the power of it through receiving some doctrine or some strange something that is not of God. One person said that it was just like a garment just came down and went right on down over her. And there she was, under the influence of a strange spirit. Had to have hands laid on her, had to be delivered. More folks than her need that. It's through listening to these kind of things, false things, and a false spirit is in all of it, and comes right along, and it will exercise its authority over us because we're receiving the thing that it has, till we'll need hands laid on us and need to be delivered. Take heed what ye hear. Now in 1 Corinthians 10th chapter and verse 18, it says, behold Israel after the flesh. Now why behold Israel after the flesh? Because Israel after the flesh is a type of Israel after the Spirit. And the things that happened in Israel, you'll find something corresponding to that in spiritual Israel. So now he says, behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partaker of the altar? Now the priests served at the altar. They offered the sacrifices. And there were certain portions of the sacrifices that was declared most holy and was set apart for food for the priests. Some of it they ate in the holy place of the temple or tabernacle at the table of showbread. Some of it they took home for their families. That was their apportionment. Certain parts of the sacrifices which they offered, they partook of that. They who eat of the sacrifices are partakers of the altar. Now in spiritual Israel, our sacrifice, God's word tells us that our sacrifice is a praise to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name.
Amen.
That's our sacrifice. Everybody has their sacrifice. And every religious group, they have their sacrifice. Their service that they render, singing, praying, preaching, and so on. We follow the same rule. We do the same thing. This is our sacrifice. We're offering our sacrifice this morning.
Amen.
On the altar, Jesus Christ. But now He said, they that eat of the sacrifices. Now what this means to me in spiritual Israel is that if I go and sit down to worship God in some so-called church denomination on a sandy foundation without the truth, and I sit there and I partake of what's going on there, and I consent that it's good, and I eat it, see. I take it in, I receive what they're putting out there. I'm a partaker of the altar. The altar is the denomination. And the sacrifice is their service or their worship. And if I go and associate with them and fellowship with them and listen to what's going on there and receive it down into my heart and consent to it that it's good and I eat the sacrifice, I'm a partaker of the altar. I'm just going right along.
Amen.
With the thing. I'm a part of it. That's what God's Word says. Somebody said to me, we're isolated. And we can't get to a Saints Sunday school. We don't want to raise our children up like heathens. We want them in Sunday school. And so we're sending our children to the Nazarene Sunday school. It's pretty spiritual. I said, yeah, but you'll raise Nazarene children.
Yeah.
That's the way that'll turn out, and that's the way it did turn out.
Yeah.
That whole family of children, they just joined up with the Nazarenes. Now, they that eat of the sacrifices are partakers of the altar. If we go to dabbling around with sectism, we're going to get a sectarian viewpoint.
Amen.
A sectarian sectarian spirit gives us a sectarian viewpoint. And a sectarian viewpoint cannot see the truth. They cannot see the body of Christ. They see the church in every place. They just see it here, there, and yonder. Wherever there's anybody professing godliness, that's the church to them. Now, if we dabble around with sectism, we'll receive a sectarian, a sectism spirit.
Yeah.
And the result of that thing is confusion. There's a lot of things going on out there. Many kinds of voices in the air. Many spirits gone out into the world. There's a spirit in every doctrine, and there's a spirit in everybody or group. There's a spirit in the body of Christ. And it says, by one spirit are we all baptized in one body and all made to drink of the one spirit. Induction into the body of Christ is a spiritual process. And the unity of the saints is a spiritual process. It's in the spirit.
Amen.
It isn't in the flesh at all. The only place that two are made one in the flesh is in marriage. And he says they're made one flesh. When a man and a woman are joined in marriage. But they may not be one spirit at all. One may be going one way and one another. One may be believing one thing and one another. And that's a sad situation in a home. And in a marriage relationship. It's really a sad situation. But they may not be one in spirit at all. But they are one in flesh. According to God's word. But now the thing that binds the saints together in one spirit, the Spirit of God, is drinking of that spirit. Every one of us just drinking into that spirit. Well, the thing that makes any denomination what it is the communicants there drinking into that spirit. There's a spirit in every one of them. And as they drink into that spirit, that has a certain unifying and bonding effect among them that makes them a group of people. Now, if I drink of the Spirit of Christ, it will baptize me into Christ's body. If I drink of the Spirit of any other religious group, it'll baptize me into that body. Take me right along into that. It's important what you and I believe. There's an idea in the world today, it doesn't make any difference what a person believes, just so they're sincere in it.
Amen.
Well, people can be sincerely wrong too. And many people are sincerely wrong. What you believe makes a difference. And it may make a difference between life and death. I repeat what I said a while ago. You can't live right till you believe right.
Amen.
And as God reveals truth to our souls and speaks to our hearts by His Spirit, let us accept that and believe that and receive that and act upon it and respond to it and be baptized or inducted into the body of Christ by receiving of His Spirit. But everybody has a spirit. Every group of people has a spirit. Every doctrine has a spirit in it. And there's a scripture in the 16th chapter of Revelation, verse 17. And now what I'm going to say about this, I don't put out as absolute. Maybe I don't even know what this means, but it is quite applicable to my discussion this morning. He says the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. These are vials of judgment. They were not vials of blessing. God wasn't blessing people in the pouring out of the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. He said these vials were full of the seven last plagues. It was a plague. It was judgment. And every vial had some judgment in it. And when he poured out his vial into the air, that was judgment. And you know, and I know, that the air just seems charged today with a spirit of evil and a spirit of deception, and a spirit of confusion. There's a spirit of confusion sweeping the globe today like we've never heard of before. But it's poured out into the air. Now what I say, the scripture probably didn't refer to this, but it's applicable to my discussion. The airlines, radios, televisions, everything, they're all conductive of many deceptive doctrines and wrong things and confusing things just sweeping through the air. We sit down on a Sunday, Sunday morning, maybe we don't have time to do this Sunday morning, but we sit down in our homes and we turn the radio on. Well, there's something coming over that. I can sit right there and listen to that and never go in a denominational church or go anywhere. Just listen to that that's coming over the radio, and there's a spirit right in it, and it'll bring me under its power and be sitting right there in my own home.
Amen.
People say, I don't listen to anything on the radio but religious programs. You can get swamped listening to religious programs. And you can receive a wrong spirit just coming right in, poured out as vile a plague into the air. Literature is the same way, just reading the literature. The doctrines in it, and the spirits and the doctrine, and you can fall under a spirit just reading wrong literature and false things. Let's be discriminate. Take heed what you hear.
Amen.
Now, you can go and sit down in any group of people and listen to what they say, and it's all the same. I don't mean they'll all be saying the same thing. Brother Harmon said once, well, I've heard him say it more than once, that division was the devil's unity. That's the reason why I can say that it's all the same. Whatever one you might land up in, it's all the same. The doctrine may be different in some details, in some points, but it's all the same to bring people into something besides the truth and the body of Christ. It's an action of Satan. It's a scheme of the devil. The whole thing is all denominated under one head in the scriptures, the false prophet. Their foundation is on the sand, and the whole system is false, and therefore it doesn't make a bit of difference which one you might land up in and listen to and participate with. It's all the same, just right down under one heading. To confuse people's minds, get them away from the truth, and get them bound up in something false and under a false spirit, and won't let them see the truth. Jesus said, take heed what ye hear. It's the truth we want to hear. Let us love the truth. Let us be responsive to the truth. Let us open our hearts and minds and let these things sink down into our ears, and let us rejoice in the truth. In the attributes of charity given in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, one of them is charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. God help you and me to have a heart and a purpose to to rejoice in the truth. And whatever the truth holds for us, I say that charity, the love of God in our hearts, will cause us to rejoice in the truth if it cuts right square across the grain of what I believe or the ideas that I had. If it uproots me from my upbringing and from my background and my religious traditions, I'll rejoice in it anyhow. If it condemns me, I'll rejoice in it anyway. If it calls on me for more sacrifice and more self-denial, I'll still rejoice in it, the truth. Amen. Charity rejoiceth in the truth. If it cuts me right square off in the pocket, so to speak, I'll still rejoice in it. Just rejoice in the truth. Love the truth. Obey the truth. Hear the truth, and don't hear anything but the truth. Praise the Lord. I'll just stand now and be dismissed.